Oh, happy hump day, everybody, for those who celebrate. I have to say that because I think it's so funny, Annie Schwartz, when I call it hump day.
I just always think of Michael Strahan doing the camel noise.
Yeah, it always makes me smile. And, you know, as much bad news as we have, there's often good news and things to talk about. So I always welcome your appearances. You've been gone. You've been traveling and
Speaking at different events. Doing a lot of work. Yeah. Doing a lot of speaking.
A lot of people ask, where have you been? So what's the answer?
Where have I been? Well, yesterday I was in scenic Stevens Point.
I love Stevens Point, by the way.
Which, you know, at 2.5 hours, I'm not a car girl. I don't love being in the car. 2.5 hours in the car is like somebody really just kill me.
Uh-huh.
But what I love doing is I love doing the work. So I train first line supervisors, police supervisors. This is through a program that our Department of Justice offers, which is kind of a number of different modules to teach young police officers who are just getting into a supervisory role all the different things they're going to have to know. So there's a module on internal investigations. They learn about officer-involved shooting investigations.
You shared with me something about that I thought was sort of shocking.
The
number of incidents.
I looked out. I've been doing this for so many years. I've been doing this a long, long time, doing this training for law enforcement, for prosecutors. And I guess that in some way, because my head hasn't really changed in the way that I think about law enforcement, some of the tactics have. But I'll tell you that when I asked the class, I said, all right, everybody who knows somebody or has been close to an officer-involved shooting, raise your hand. It was, I mean, it's 30 people in the class. And they're from smaller municipalities. They're from sheriff's offices up north. That's why the DOJ has the classes in different parts of the state. So I am always grateful for that time, because what I get to do is I get to find out what young officers are thinking about. What are they worried about? What are they not worried about?
Are they different? I guess it's sort of a generalization and your perception of it. Are they different young men and women than they used to be? Obviously, the difference is there's more women than there used to be, because there's none in the beginning of these many of these departments. So are they different when they come into the job now? Are they more educationally trained through like programs like MATC has a program? What's the difference?
One of the things that we hope for young officers, one of the things that we hope for them is that they will carry through on the ideals that they have had. Little cough, but I'm better now. See, it's been so long since I learned how to use a microphone. I'm lucky
there you go.
The cough button and
you
didn't take
it out.
Us out offline. One of the things that I always hope and pray for young officers is that they continue to carry through the ideals that brought them to the job in the first place. And it is so easy nowadays with things that you're... Nowadays. Thank you. You're welcome, Mom. I did that. Yeah, I did a mom word.
You could almost said whoops-a-daisy there.
Oh, my gosh. Fiddlesticks. So what I see is that they get jaded so much quicker than they used to. And I think it's because of all the things that they're exposed to. They are seeing more police shootings. And because of the internet, they're also seeing more videos of these things, of these encounters. It gives them more to think about. But they're also kind of that generation of, wait, I got to work a weekend? Well, I got a vacation. I got to right. go. I have a vacation.
They think about some other things as well. It's just their job.
They're not hungry for that overtime, really, like you used to see guys. We used to call them just overtime hounds, you know?
One of the things that we've talked about a lot, even while you were gone, is the sort of the arrival, albeit a year plus late, of SROs in Milwaukee.
Finally.
Public schools. What have you heard? What are you hearing about as it comes? It seems like there's been very few incidents, and from what I can tell from the comments of the new superintendent of MPS and some of the other high-ranking people in the administration there, that things have gone pretty smoothly.
What I believe, and again, I come here and talk to you about my observations on law enforcement. It's not necessarily, you know, the be-all, end-all, but I'll tell you that I think that the most valuable function that those officers who are assigned to the schools are going to be able to perform is an intel function, an intelligence function. They're going to hear when things are going on. They're going to, you know, I don't think it's to stop the next fight in the hallway, although I suppose that's...
They've always been called in for those anyway.
They've always been. Alex Ayala, the president of the Milwaukee Police Association, has said, We're already there.
Yeah, there's thousands of incidents.
One of the pieces of the argument, though, that made me crazy, and I'm getting older, so it doesn't take much to make me crazy anymore. This made me crazy to hear the public say, but they need to get the training. They have to get the training. They have to get the training. I thought, it's not like these guys worked at a 7-Eleven last week, and now today they got to go and police. So,
here's a gun. Go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they were already cops, and they're already cops that know what they're doing. So.
Yeah, so I think that's a good story. I'm still concerned that it took that long to get these officers in place. I'm an advocate of SROs. I've known a bunch of them over my career as a public official and certainly as someone who does this for a living. And every time I talk to one of these men or women, they always comment on how great the relationship is between not just the officers in the administration, but the students themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's sort of a acknowledgement that there is a relationship that matters there. And we talk a lot about community-oriented policing. That's a real demonstration of how that can work effectively. We got to take a break. Annie Schwartz, our guest for the next few minutes. After the break, we're certainly going to have a big election coming up. Some of you have already voted, as have I. But April 1st, big election in the state of Wisconsin. What is law enforcement public safety thinking about in terms of security and other concerns about that election? We will get to that with Annie Schwartz, our guest. On the Political Power Hour, 620 WTMJ.
This girl is on fire.
One of the few people on this program has their own walk of music. That's because she's earned it. Annie Schwartz, law enforcement communications expert.
Even when she hasn't walked up in, like, you know.
Yeah, well, you've been busy.
There's been a lot going on. There's been a lot going on, and a lot of times it's, you know, there are things that I can't bring to the program here and talk to you about, but. Always out there working with law enforcement statewide and trying to help them through whether it's a police-involved shooting or it is cyber attacks on municipalities. I also work on those.
And that's a serious problem, trust me. I've talked to some municipality leaders who are dealing with that situation.
Absolutely. And when it happens in the private sector, they don't necessarily have to tell anybody.
Right.
But you got to tell your board, and that's a not fun meeting.
So we've got an election that's already ongoing. People are early voting. I've already cast my ballots. A lot of folks like to show up on election day, April 1st, first Tuesday in April. What's law enforcement public safety thinking about in terms of this election, some of the things? There's obviously some threats out there. There's some other concerns that we hear about, but we don't hear everything. What's public safety saying about the election?
What I'm hearing from a lot of officers about the upcoming election, and you know what? When I look at elections, even though it is indeed the political power hour, I'm pretty powerless when it comes to, you know, politics. But I do want what's good for law enforcement, and I want what makes it easier for us to get, you know, bad guys off the street. I'm watching the Supreme Court election just like everybody is. Full disclosure, I was Brad Schimmel's communications director when he was attorney general.
Talk about it.
Sure. You know, it's hard
Brad's
for
a
me.
Friend of mine as well. What does Brad Schimmel bring to this job?
I'll tell you, it's hard for me to see the negative ads. That hurts. It hurts my heart. I got to say so, because I have covered Brad Schimmel as a reporter since he was a DA in Waukesha. He was my friend, and I worked for him. We have continued to talk with one another. To even intimate that he is soft in any way on crime is ridiculous.
It's part of the insanity of politics.
His first year, which I promised him I would do. I spent his first year as AG working with him, and any insinuation that he is not, you know, for the victims of crime. That he is, again, soft on crime. When it comes to, sexual assault, I mean, he was a huge advocate when he was in the DA's office. And again, you know, when he got to the AG's office, I understand campaigns are campaigns, and both sides. I don't know Susan Crawford. I've never met her, so I can't speak to her. The only candidate I can speak about is Brad, because I have known him so long. If I have to call him Justice Schimmel, it's really going to hurt my head.
Right.
I told him I wasn't going to call him General when he was AG, and he was fine with that.
Yeah.
But I remember when we were doing the Dose of Reality campaign, where we were going after fentanyl, and we were going after
opiates. He was on the show talking about that while you were doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were, going after opiates, going after... you know, the misuse of those kinds of drugs. It was his passion. I saw him cry with parents. I saw him, you know, talk to people who have lost their children. You know, as speaking of children, I also know that, you know, I know Brad's story as far as, you know, his two daughters and how he and his wife Sandy, you know, were able to adopt them from their birth mothers. Brad's not a zealot when it comes to, you know, women's rights.
I think a
this
lot of people
is
are,
personal.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think this, a lot of people are also intrigued by the fact that he has that law enforcement background, which I don't know. We've had someone on the Wisconsin Supreme Court that has that sort of a resume, which I think is intriguing to people. I always love the text that we get on the show. This is from Bob in Waukesha, frequent listener. I met Steve and Annie. I met my one and only wife 50 years ago on the job. Female officers weren't treated the same by any stretch. I was also an SRO before the position had a title. Bob was a longtime police officer. Supporting from the school administrators was essential. Bob from Waukesha, retired sergeant, Miami-Dade Police Department.
Absolutely. And I remember when we had school resource officers when they weren't called that either. I started my reporting career in 1987. I know, it's just take a pause to remember all the, you know, zygotes in the newsrooms around the state that don't remember that. But that was a pivotal time because that was Milwaukee police, for example, were just coming off of Harold Breyer. There was a real old school kind of way. And I have talked to officers, by the way, who work for now chiefs who were once upon a time police officers that I knew in Milwaukee. And they say it's a different animal. They are very, we really don't like talking to the media. We really don't, you know, they don't want to hear about the innovative thing. And I was complimented by an officer yesterday who said, I love that you come to these classes and talk about innovative ideas because innovation in policing is almost an oxymoron.
Well, remember the harsh pushback against social media when that was the thing? Now,
oh my gosh!
I just looked, like Oak Creek Police Department's Facebook page is like 30,000 followers. Those are great resources.
Steve, you know what? When we went at the Milwaukee Police Department, when Nan Haggerty was chief, and she said, and I, one of the reasons she had brought me in was to do some of these things, and I said, let's brand the department. Let's do a branding campaign for the police department. You worked in that business. You know what a branding campaign is all about. And people looked at me like the dog does when it watches television. You know, they're, what is she talking about? And it was very successful. We also dipped our toe in the world of social media. And it was scary because I remember, you know, some of the commanders saying to me, well, we don't want people to talk back to us. It's like, well, welcome to the world, baby girl. This is what it's going to look like now.
Yeah, it's a great resource for departments now.
It is. It's a great way to communicate. It also does allow the community to say, you know, to talk back. Typically, I find that when it's a law enforcement agency that owns a page, they don't necessarily get, you know, negative people coming on there and saying things. And if they do, open records law. They got to leave it.
There's sort of a built-in safety net because who wants to be the person, the troll that jumps on the police department's social media and starts going after them? It's sort of a cautionary tale for people who have tried to do that. They are aware of what's posted on their sites.
It's like, don't put the sharp end of the stick in your eye. Yeah.
She is Annie Schwartz. She's joining for a couple more minutes. She has a special recollection she wants to pass on to all of us after the break. You're listening, of course, to the Hump Day edition, Wednesday edition of the Political Power Hour, 6:20. Shake your head at me, producer Jazz. Hump Day. I'm still calling it that. Old school. More next.
Sweet Caroline.
I had to play this because I saw the A Beautiful Noise at the Marcus last night. Unbelievable. I'll give all of you. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later in the show as well. But if you love the music, which he had 39 top 10 hits.
How do you not?
But the performances are outstanding, especially the one that plays young Neil and the woman that plays his second wife, Marsha. Trust me, singing and dancing are her forte. And I was sitting next to my wife going, wow, I need more Marsha in my life. She was unbelievable. Anyway, wow. That's my Neil Diamond tribute discussion. All right.
You've never steered me wrong on a recommendation.
Go so see it. If you can, go see it. It's at the Marcus until Sunday. All right.
I'm going to try to get through this one. This is a hard one for me. These are hard, and this one is really hard. Those of us who are friends and worked with him in the police department lost a dear, dear friend, Jimmy Campbell. He was a captain in District 1. We lost him on March 14th. which is only a couple of weeks ago. A lot of us are still reeling from that news.
Tell us about him.
I want to talk to him about Jimmy because that's what he would like. I think it's important when we find out that officers die in various ways, we say don't talk about the way they died, talk about the way they lived. And Jimmy was amazing. He was a leader. He was an incredible district captain. He was a voracious Packer fan. That's easy to say about so many people that I worked with at the department. But his two boys, his boys were absolutely his world. And they're not even in high school yet. And so they are preparing for a life that will be very different than the one they imagined. Jimmy was with the Milwaukee Police Department for 25 years. He had just retired. Whether or not that's a factor, I don't know. Sometimes it is. The sad thing is you never know. We're never going to know. But he retired as the captain of the Special Investigations Unit. He was one of the people that got Code Red off the ground downtown. You talk to anybody who's a business owner in downtown Milwaukee, and they know Jimmy Campbell.
Jimmy Campbell, rest in peace. Always tough to talk about those. Annie, we'll have you back more often now that you've done a lot of traveling, so we'll have to get you back on. Always love to see your smiling face, which
I like.
Your face is skinnier because I know you lost some weight.
I'm doing a thing.
As am I. All right.